Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pneumatikoff. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's episode is entitled The Prophet Amos Knew Deeds Determine Destiny. The World Today Does Not. I'm going to be reading from the prophecy of Amos in the Old Testament. I'm going to be reading from chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, what he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake. When Uzziah was king of Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, Israel, he said, "The Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds dry up, and the top of Carmel withers." This is a very profound and rather scathing introduction. Amos, that is, the book of Amos, was written, or the prophecy thereof, given between 760 and 750 BC. The prophet Amos was sent to the kingdom, that is the northern kingdom of Israel. The nation, that is Israel at large, had been divided for some 150 years at this point into the northern kingdom of Israel and into the southern kingdom of Judah. Israel struggled against Syria to the north, and the Assyrians defeated Syria in 800 BC. And so this opened Israel up for economic prosperity under Jeroboam II. And with the economic prosperity, there was also the influx of debauchery, moral laxity, and I should say, moral relativism. So Amos cries out against this estate. And it is very interesting that here in chapter 1 we have a record of Yahweh's reaction to human behavior. And indeed, in the entire scriptures, we have recorded for us Yahweh's reaction, or his reactions to human behavior. But here particularly, I want to point out something very important, and that is in chapter 1, verse 1, we read the words of Amos. And the particular term that is used here for words is the word debar. And I think I've said it before in a former broadcast that debar is a very interesting Hebrew term because It means the word as event. You know, and sometimes it's hard to put it together or to understand completely the because it is a dynamic term. And so with Devar, we have the understanding that the word carries within itself the unity of incarnative and predictive elements. And so Devar is address and command as well as dynamic event. So we have the word of things, the Devar activity. And so the word here, which means both unity of address and action, is used some 400 times in the Old Testament. And so literally, we read, Amos saw words, that is, he saw events unfold in a dynamic manner. Yahweh's word is never static. Indeed, in Exodus 3:14, we have the famous name of Yahweh given as I am that I am, or I will be who I will be. It is a dynamic appellation, as it were. It is dynamic shem, or name. In the Old Testament, when one knows the name Yada, Yada is a term of intimacy. So when one enters into a relationship with another, it is dynamic. And so Yahweh reveals the shem, or his name, as I will be who I will be. And so, or it also means one who is always in the process of becoming. So it is very difficult to pin down in a static Western manner the powerful meaning of these terms. And so here the prophet of Tekoa, that is the shepherd of Tekoa, has been brought into God's dynamic and powerful activity. He is to go to the northern kingdom with the Spirit of God upon him, and he is going to confront a very wayward nation that has left Yahwism. They have left Orthodox Yahwism, and they have gone off, and now they are worshiping, and they have a relationship, I should say, with the God of the indigenous people. So they are involved in paganism. People of God have gone off. They've left God. And so Amos comes to them with this very compelling message that Yahweh has given to him. And so we read of the load or the burden of Amos that God has placed in his heart. The words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, what he saw. Notice the connection. Words saw. What he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake. Now in the book of Genesis, the Adam, that is the first man, the original man, the prototype man, was made from the Adama, that is, from the ground. The Hebrew word for blood is Dam. And so there is a relationship that the Adam, or man, has with the earth. He was taken out from the earth. the very chemical elements that make up the human body are found within the soil of the earth. Soil is very complex. It is very complex. So the earthquake that we read about here was in response to human activity. To human activity that was outside of the will of Yahweh. The earth responds, the ecology responds, the cosmos responds to the behavior of man. There is that intimate relationship that all men have, that all persons have with the cosmos. We are all involved in the chemical cycle. We live, and if we wear down, we grow old, die. And in the animal kingdom, we see that the nutrients of the course of the body returns to the soil. Bacteria and the fungus breaks down the dead carcass, so it replenishes the soil, and so the cycle of life begins anew. But man has a unique relationship, not only with the gay, that is the earth, but also with one another. Now, quantum physics has told us that we all are interrelated. We are interrelated patterns of energy, or energetic patterns. It is interesting to me that during the day or the time of payments, there's such brutality among the nations. And in verse 2 of chapter 1, we have God's response to the brutality of the nations. And also included in this chapter 1 is God's response to crimes against humanity. I mean, almost daily, today you and I read about crimes against humanity. And the persons who commit these atrocities, whether they are put in the media or the media talks about them or whether they do not, these deaths cry out. And at some point in history, God is going to reveal his reaction to these atrocities. Because crimes against humanity comes under God too. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. And those who commit these crimes, who believe themselves to be somehow other than those they murder, do not understand that we live in interrelationship, that we live in interdependence, and that to destroy another diminishes and begins the deconstruction of the self, of the entity that has exhibited such mockery and cruelty. God sees these things. And so, in Amos chapter 1, verse 2, we read, Amos said, he said, "The Lord roars, Se'ag." And it depicts the lion's roar as he pounces upon his prey. And the pastures of the shepherds dry up, and the top of Carmel withers. From the shattering roar of the lion, who is the Lord. Verse 3. This is what the Lord says for three sins of Damascus. Damascus here is the capital of Syria. For three sins of Damascus, even for four. I will not turn back my wrath because she threshed Gilead with sleds having iron teeth. I will send fire upon the house of Hazael that will consume the fortresses of Ben-Hadad. And so persons were being murdered, and persons were being tortured by having them line up, and then threshing sleds were pulled over their body. Verse 5. I will break down the gates of Damascus. I will destroy the king who is in the Valley of Avon. Here, Valley of Avon. Avon is a term that represents nothingness. And the one who holds the scepter in Beth Edom. People of Aram will go into exile to Kir. This is what the Lord says. For three sins of Gaza, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath, because she took captive whole communities and sold them to Edom. I will send fire upon the walls of Gaza that will consume her fortress. So slavery here is denounced, and the Lord sees this activity of individuals being sold into captivity as commodity. I will send fire upon the walls of Gaza that will consume her fortresses. I will destroy the king of Ashdod and the one who holds the scepter in Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron. For the last of the Philistines is dead, says the sovereign Lord. This is verse 9. This is what the Lord says. For three sins of Tyre, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath, because she sold whole communities captives to Edom. Disregarding the treaty, so their own. So you see the disconnect. You see the ability of persons to savagely destroy the lives of others in the name of money, in the name of power, in the name of economic advantage. Verse 10, I will send fire upon the walls of Tyre that will consume her fortresses. This is what the Lord says. For three sins of Edom, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath, because he pursued his brother with a sword, stifling all compassion, because his anger raged continually and his fury flamed unchecked. Now, in the New Testament, the Lord has given his people his word in Exodus 20. And in Exodus 20, we have the Ten Commandments. And God not only gave the Ten Commandments, God also gave his people, he gave his people case law. They had civil law. God gave them statutes and judgments. A complete legal system that was based upon integrity and real justice. verse 12, I will send fire upon Teman that will consume the fortresses of Bozrah. This is what the Lord says, for three sins of Ammon, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath because he ripped open the pregnant women of Gilead in order to extend his borders. I will set fire to the walls amid war cries on the day of battle, amid violent winds on a stormy day. Sirocco was the hot wind that would come off the desert, the hot scorching wind that would not only take everyone's breath, but would also scour what was ever in its path. Her king will go into exile, he and his officials together, said the Lord. Chapter 2. This is what the Lord says, for three sins of Moab, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath, because he burned as if to lime the bones of Edom's king. I will send fire upon Moab that will consume the fortresses of Kerioth. Moab will go down in great tumult amid war cries and the blast of the trumpet. I will destroy her ruler, kill all her officials, says the Lord. The prophet Amos understood that these terms were necessary. The world today is oblivious to this reality. The world today seems not to know or does not take seriously the fact that its leaders and their decisions are accountable to God. Their accountability is real and palpable. And we read in Revelation 19 that God has books and God records. And today, I know we have cloud storage for the information that we believe is vital. But God has heavenly cloud storage. In fact, known unto God from the beginning, known unto God from the beginning, how this age would culminate. First John tells us that this age, this ion, is being caused to pass away. So we're not merely dealing with the passage of time, the change that accompanies time. We're dealing with the reality that this world is being divinely caused to pass away. This age is being divinely caused to pass away. 1 Corinthians 4, Paul calls this day the day of man, the day of man. We, on the other hand, look forward to the day of Christ. We look forward to the day of Christ, which means salvation for the believing one. But the world will see the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is different from the day of Christ. The day of the Lord is a day for a time of crisis. In the New Testament, the word judgment, or the word that is transliterated as judgment, is the word crisis. K-R-I-S-I-S in the Greek. Crisis. The judgment means Christ, day of crisis. Here in Amos, we have the connection, an act. We have the act result connection. Deeds that shape destiny. Deeds that shape destiny are real. And we have given to us in no uncertain terms in the book of Amos. And so we read these truths, we study these truths. we go back into history, the ancient Near Eastern history, and we can read about this. We can read about this history. It is recorded for us. We can go back and read ancient Assyriology. We can go back and the artifacts of the time. We can look at Ostraca. We can look at the potsherds. We can look at different documents. We can look at the pottery of the time. We can read about the trade routes and what was going on at this time. We can look. We could go back and read about the power, the political powers that were at play. And a very graphic recording of what was done at the time. So, in chapter 2, beginning of verse 4, this is what God says about Judah. For 3 sons of Judah, even for 4, I will not turn back my wrath because they, speaking of Judah, have rejected the Torah, they have rejected the law of the Lord, and have not kept his decree, because they have been led astray by false gods, the gods of their ancestors. Please read the struggle in the wilderness. Please read the book of Judges. I will send fire upon Judah that will consume the fortresses of Jerusalem. And verse 6, this is God's prophecy against the northern kingdom of Israel. This is what the Lord says: for 3 sins of Israel, even for 4, I will not turn back my wrath. They sell the righteous for silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as upon the dust of the ground and deny justice to them. Father and son use the same girl and so profane my holy name. They lie down beside every altar of garments taken in pledge, at the house of their God is inquiring taken as fine. So we see why Amos was sent to the northern kingdom. He determined destiny. Or what we have here recorded for us, the reality that deed shaped destiny. Now, I'm not arguing either for fatalistic determinism, but what I am saying this morning is that here is an opportunity for us to read history and for us to make decisions about God. A very serious, a very real decision. Not to go the way of the cosmos. Jesus said, be in the cosmos, but not out of the cosmos of ourselves. It's time for the believing community to take seriously who we are. Why have we have been left here? We are called to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. My name is Dr. Josiah Richard.